3. Choir. This is now. All of her memories, all of those thens, reel to a close. No longer lying on the grass, hearing a distant storm. No longer confined in the cargo hold of a spaceship treated as a slave. They were then, and this is now. Skoya opens her eyes. She is bound within her own coffin, bathed in tremulous sound. It rises octave by octave, and she thinks of deep sea monsters, ship-eating creatures stirring and thrashing upon the lightless ocean beds as they begin to rise. She breathes in, managing only a shallow mouthful of air. Her heart beats slowly, so slowly. She presses her hands to the thickness of the vision panel, knowing instinctively that it isn't for her to see out, it's for her captors to look in. To see her, to see if she's still alive. Her next breath is harder than the first. She has to fight to suck it in, and it scarcely gets past her throat. Already the edges of her vision darken to grey. She beats her fists against the window, making the coffin sway gently, the motion no different from a rocking cradle. Her third breath barely comes at all. In that moment she cries out, not with her mouth, but with her mind. She screams for the spirits to come to her. She beseeches them for their aid. She curses them for their silence. Panic drives her past holiness into blasphemy, and still she screams. Other cries join hers. Some, like Skoya's, beseech ancestor spirits or the memories of the lost. Others are offered up as desperate prayers to the emperor or the false and half-forgotten gods of distant worlds. It is the unified cry of people drawn from hundreds of cultures, voicing their psychic gifts in terminal harmony. Not all are pained. Some are obliviously joyful. Others are sixth-sense distillations of helpless rage or simple, crude fear. The chorus of outreaching emotion rises, and the battalion of interconnected machines all run louder, harder, in sympathetic response. She is fading now. Her breaths no longer come, and that only amplifies her silent cry. She slumps forwards, cheek pressed to the unbreakable glass, her lips trembling, her eyes wide and shivering. The stiller she becomes, the darker her sight falls, the louder she screams inside her skull. And now, only now, does she hear the melody of the other souls of the 1,000 sharing the same fate, suffering what she suffers. Their screams and prayers and panic and fears entwine, unseen by all, and form one sound, one impossibly perfect note. Those outside the coffins may yet hear it, but its true purity is unheard by any but the dying souls themselves. It is the very first note in a song that will last 10,000 years, and perhaps beyond. She, Skoya, is its first singer.